My name is Julius, and I'm your twin brother.
Oh, obviously. The moment I sat down, I thought I was looking into a mirror.
We are not identical twins.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, I wouldn't be too sure, pal.
Yes, thanks to Twins, the classic 80s movie starring Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, we know there's identical twins and there's non-identical twins. End of story, right? Well, turns out there's also semi-identical twins, and Australia's first case of these such siblings has been announced just this week. Professor Nicholas Fisk is a Deputy Vice-Chancellor of Research at the University of New South Wales. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia.
What are semi-identical twins and how they're different to identical and non-identical twins?
Sure, they're certainly not those two. I doubt they're related at all.
No.
They're a fascinating intermediate between identical twins which share 100% of their DNA and non-identical twins which share 50%. So broadly, they share three quarters of their DNA. They're a halfway house with identical genes inherited from the mother, but non-identical for those inherited from the father.
Wow, just how rare are semi-identical twins?
That's a really good question. This is only the second case ever reported. The first was more than a decade ago. So we asked that question by going to look at DNA studies from almost 1,000 non-identical twins and comparing their DNA fingerprints to that of their parents. We couldn't find a single case, nor could we find any in the literature from some of the large registries now with tens of thousands of DNA studies from twins. So it's as rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah. It really is. Okay, this is why it's so fascinating, of course. How did your team work this out? What was the science behind it?
So there was a twin pregnancy. They all have an ultrasound, and it had a single placenta, as 20% of twins too. And that means that they're identical. But also on ultrasound, they had boy bits and girl bits. They were of different sex, so they can't be identical. So when we did their early DNA studies, they were a bit intermediate. They weren't quite identical and weren't quite non-identical. So we did a whole array of genetic studies. In fact, looking at around 500,000 genetic variants, tracking it in them and their parents. And that showed that they had inherited identical DNA from their mother, just like identical twins, but different DNA from their father, just like non-identical twins, or in fact, just like siblings.
So what were the biological processes that allowed that to happen?
That's very interesting. It took us a long time to figure this out because none of the obvious causes stacked up. We now believe, and the evidence from this case supports it, that it's a single ovum fertilised by two sperm. Now, that may sound obvious, but it really shouldn't happen because the egg, the cell wall closes down once one sperm has entered it. Remember, it'll be surrounded by hundreds of thousands, even millions of sperm. But even if a second one got in, that fertilized ovum would have three sets of chromosomes, not two, and therefore the embryo should be non-viable. So the clue here came from a very recent some recent work in cattle, IVF cattle of all things from Belgium, showing that you could get three sets of DNA segregate into two normal cell lines, each with a normal number of chromosomes. So after that happened, these two particular cell lines then split and segregated into two separate twins, and that's how this came to light.
What are these semi-identical twins? Where are they now and how are they doing?
So they were born in southeast Queensland. The parents have asked that we respect the privacy of their two children. That's not unreasonable. So they chose not to be identified, and I do want to respect that. What I can say though is that at the age of four, they're doing well and they're meeting their developmental milestones.
So if they're 4 years old now and you worked this out during the pregnancy, why did it take so long to share this with us all, the public, us?
Right. So it's taken over 2 years to get this case published. I think the real challenge, apart from the exhaustive DNA studies we needed to do in several laboratories in a couple of different countries, was the issue about working out the mechanism. And this recent paper on the IVF cattle that I mentioned has only come out within the last couple of years.
Such an interesting story. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Professor Nicholas Fisk is the Deputy Vice-Chancellor of Research at the University of New South Wales, and a really fascinating story there. Hey, this is RN Drive.